Lord, did somebody have breakfast this morning? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. It is a delight to be in the presence of the Lord and to know that He takes care of us every single day, that He has directed our lives, and that's why you are here. Praise the Lord. You're here because the Lord has sustained you. You're here because He is everlasting from everlasting. No matter however things we may go through in life, He is still on the throne and He takes care of us every single day. Praise the Lord. This morning, I know we have some guests and we are going to give you an opportunity to hear the word of the Lord so that you can greet us. I want you to feel welcome in the presence of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me this week as I was meditating upon His word, and He drew me to a song that is found in the book of Psalm 46, and that is what we want to examine this day. Amen. Psalm 46 is a song written among many songs. Psalms, actually, they are psalms written by David, and I know most of us are familiar, love just getting into the book of Psalms because of the encouragement that we derive from the songs written by David. And one of the reasons that I've loved about David is he had many flaws. He had many problems. He had many issues in his life. But in spite of the things that he went through, he completely dedicated his life to the Lord. Amen. He took the Lord as his refuge. No matter how many things that he had to go to endure or to go through, no matter how many people pursued him, wanting to kill him, you know, he had his Lord as his refuge. And many times you read through the book of Psalms and you wonder the amount of torture, the amount of things that he had to go through. And you just sometimes identify also with what he had to go through. And he is kind of like a picture of the church today, the things that we struggle with, the afflictions that sometimes we encounter, the trouble that we encounter, and the warfare that we fight. It's kind of like a reflection of what we go through on a daily basis. And so I just want us to read the first seven verses. And then we are going to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has for each one of us. And I know that we are going to be blessed. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're blessed. If you mean it, please. If you mean it, turn to the other neighbor, tell them you are blessed. Oh my goodness. You know, tell them you have no idea. You are really, really, really blessed. You have no idea that you're blessed. Amen. Oh God. God is so good. So the Psalm 46:1-7, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roll and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Somebody say amen. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. Verse number 6. The nations ranged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Now, I don't know what comes into your mind when you read that psalm, but if you're like me, it looks like it represents somebody who is encountered with trouble. It looks like it's somebody who is in a warfare of some sort. And if you read in the beginning, you know, like the notes that precede that psalm, you find that this was assigned to the chief musician. it was assigned to the chief musician, sort of like David wanted this to be very special. Praise the Lord. It's written on my Bible, for the director of music by Alamoth Asam of the Sons of Korah. Amen. Now this song that David David wrote had some significance, and its significance is foretold by the assignment to the person who is to sing this song. Amen. The significance of the content of this psalm parallels the assignment to the person who was supposed to sing. The sons of Korah had a Levitical assignments also in the temple. Amen. And there was some of them were involved in music, and they would play the harps and they would play some instruments. And the kind of songs that they used to sing would only be echoed by some fine virgins who would produce some high-pitched voices, and in honor to the and the glory of God. And so David puts a great significance on the contents of Psalm number 46. It is amazing. I was just waking up one morning and I was just getting to pray, and I heard these words, refuge and strength, and immediately I was drawn to this psalm, and the Spirit of the Lord started speaking to me about the contents of this psalm. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, in the Bible, there are other places where God is referred as our rock, and our fortress. For example, in the book of Psalm 18, verse number 2, David still writes and says this: "The Lord is my rock; He is my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in which I take refuge." Amen. "He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold." Amen. In Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 10, this is a very familiar verse that we all know. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a what? Come on, say it like you mean it. The name of the Lord is a strong. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous runs into it, and they are saved. The righteous run into that fortress and they are saved. Now, you don't run into any refuge and you don't run into any fortress if you don't have any pursuers. Amen? There must be somebody who is pursuing you, or you must be engaged in a raging battle in order for you to seek refuge to some place. In order for you to seek some fortress. Praise the Lord. I love what the Bible says in verse number 2. It says this: "Therefore, we will not fear." Praise the Lord. It says the beginning, it starts by saying, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." And I love what it says in verses 2. "Therefore." Now, "therefore" means that if you knew what had preceded what was written there, if you had come into the knowledge of knowing what a refuge and the strength in the Lord is, therefore, as a consequence of learning who God is to you, therefore, you shall not do what? You shall not fear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, a believer is someone who has received Jesus as their personal Savior. And I've said this before, whether you know it, whether you don't know it, whether you are aware of it, whether you may not be aware of it, we are constantly engaged in a spiritual warfare. Amen? The kind of a warfare that we may not really experience physically. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that in the heavenlies, we have principalities, rulers, and power. And their function, and this rulers and powers, there are two kinds of, there's two kinds of powers. There's the power, of course, which is divine, which is our God, the Lord's power, amen, and which inhabits us. But also the Bible tells us that in the heavenlies, there are rulers, their powers and their principalities of evil. Amen? And their assignment is to send war to the believers. Praise be to God. So at any given moment, there is warfare that is taking place in the household of God, in the body of Christ. Praise be to God. It is important for us to know that there is a warfare taking place even as a believer. Amen? The devil plays with your mind. The battle begins in our minds. Praise be to God. And it is our responsibility, and as the Word has told us, of how we ought to fight this warfare. The Bible tells us that our warfare is not carnal, but it is mighty. And I mean, the weapons of our warfare are not just physical. They are not carnal. But they are mighty in God by pulling down what? Strongholds. So you have been given as a child of God power and authority to bring down every chain, every power, every fetter that has risen against any child of God. You have that power and authority. Praise the Lord. Amen? And the Bible tells us that He has given us power and authority to step on snakes and on scorpions, and nothing shall by any means, I love that, nothing shall by any means do what? Harm you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nothing shall by any means harm you. So, I intentionally wanted to find out what a refuge is. And I went to my dictionary and I found what a refuge is. This is what it is. This is what I found out. That it is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. I'll repeat. It is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. I also wanted to find out what fortress is, and I found out what fortress was. It is a stronghold, especially a stronghold that is fortified, or a fortified town fit for a large garrison. And the synonyms of a fortress could be a fort, it could be a castle, it could be a citadel, a blockhouse, it could be a fortification, it could be a fastness of some kind. Amen? So a fortress or a refuge is a condition whereby you are safe. Amen? And when God, I want us to understand when God says that He is our refuge, praise the Lord. When God says that He is our refuge, He is a constant refuge wherever you go. Amen? What am I talking about? Whenever you experience trials and tribulations, whenever we are encountered with the trouble, there is the fortress, there is the refuge there with us. Amen? When you're involved in an accident in America, what do you do? It could be you if you're in a position to pick up your phone and dial 911, and the police will surely show up, right? But police never go with you everywhere you go. Amen? Ambulances don't go with you wherever you go. If you're involved in a crash, you will need somebody to pick up the phone and call for that ambulance, and it will take 15 minutes. If they are lucky enough, there's no traffic, and maybe you have not sustained even major, maybe injuries, they might find you and they might save your life. But many people have died just because the ambulance never arrived on time. Now, we can even shift gears and go to Africa. If you are involved in a crash and you call, was it 999? Yeah. You remember, you used to call 999. Number one, you may not even receive, there may not even be anybody picking up the phone on the other side. Now, if you're lucky for somebody to pick up a phone, they may tell you the car that we may come here or the ambulance doesn't have any gas. I mean, petrol. Now, if you're lucky enough, I mean, in other words, you may die just because there was no help to come to help you out. But when God talks to us and He says that He is our refuge, He is a constant refuge going on with our lives. Amen? That means wherever you are found, God is there with you. Amen? Refuge is a present, is resident with you. And I love, I was reading somewhere in the Bible just the other day, it was telling me that our God is not an absentee God. There's no time when he says, you know, hey, you know what, I need to take off today, I need to go out for lunch. If you need me, just, you know, he'll leave maybe like a stick note to you, and you can dial your number, call me whenever you need me, I'll be right there. No, God goes with us. As a matter of fact, when you remember the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, and the Lord said that he would not take them, we was learning this in the Bible study just the other day, he chose not to take them by the shorter route to where the Philistines were, because they would encounter warfare and maybe they would have turned their hearts, or their hearts would have changed, and they would have gone back to Egypt. Rather, the Bible says that he chose to take them through the longer way. Amen? Now, the longer way was not an easy way. The longer way was the way of the wilderness. There was no landmarks where they would even know how to charter their route towards the promised land. But guess what? That the Lord came down and he was with them, praise the Lord. And the Bible says that he led them. During the day, there was a cloud that led them, kind of like a GPS today, amen? He would tell us, yo, you see there? Oh, you don't have even to go there, but you have to follow this cloud. And at night, how did he lead them? How did he lead them at night? Come on, do we have any Bible scholars here? He led them by a pillar of fire, amen? All they needed to do is watch the pillar of fire as it traveled. They needed to follow it. Amen? That is what God does to us. He is our refuge and he is our strength. Praise the Lord. Now, I told you that we are constantly involved in a spiritual warfare. Now, there are two kinds of fighting. You know, even in the natural warfare, whenever you hear that like the U.S. Army or the any army of a certain nation is attacking any other nation, there are two kinds of formations. There is what we call the offensive, and there's what we call the defensive. Amen? So there's the offensive, and there is defensive. Now, defensive is when the enemy brings his war to you. Now, offensive is when you say, enough is enough, I am taking my war to the enemy's camp. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, there are certain times when the enemy has come with all his angels and they have targeted and zeroed in on your address, so that when you know that the enemy is just by the gate knocking, sometimes, let me tell you, church, can we all agree that sometimes trouble can come from anywhere? Not just because of anything that you did, not because you never paid up your tithe, not because that you never did anything, but you know what? Something just happened, and it seems that trouble is knocking. You know, when you look at your phone, have you ever seen when there's a storm alert? Every phone, you know, in that county is buzzing. And it's busy buzzing. Zzz, zzz, there's a storm alert. If you watch on the television, if you listen to the radio, storms alert that you need to be. Let me tell you, when there's a storm coming your way, you better not say that, you know what, there are people who say, you know what, I'm so used to this alert. I read a story one time there was a tornado in Moore, and there used to be these sirens that goes on and storm alerts, and there was this guy who said, oh, every time they bring this storm alerts, you know, nothing happens, and we need to take those storm alerts seriously. And what they tell you is you need to get on an underground basement if you have one. Maybe you need to get into a closet. You need to get maybe a mattress on. You need to get maybe a blanket on. You know, huddle together with your children. You know, make sure there's no one near the windows, right? Have you heard those things? So this guy just decided, you know, to defy, and he said, you know what? I'm not doing nothing. Let me tell you, the eye of the storm actually was zeroing on Moore, Oklahoma, and I think his house was one of the houses that was flipped, but he survived to tell the story. You know, it is a dangerous thing when sometimes trouble will come and knocking on your door like this. If you want to know somebody who experienced trouble, just talk to Job. He will tell you that out of the blues, the Bible says that he was a blameless man. He honored God. You know, he sought the Lord in everything that he did. Praise the Lord. And one day just Satan is roaming around, you know, and he says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Now, what makes us think that the devil would not come to the Lord and ask him about us? You know, it is only that scripture would never be written concerning us. But I'm sure probably the devil has maybe knocked on God's door sometimes asking, hey, Lord, have you considered your servant Job? He takes himself to be so faithful and, you know, righteous. And maybe God said no. And maybe there's somebody else. Maybe somebody knocked on God, the devil knocks on God's door. And he said, have you considered my servant, Pastor Francis? Your servant, Pastor Francis. And God said, you know, this man is holy. This man is righteous. But go ahead and just squeeze him a little bit. Let me tell you. And there will be a storm alive. God forbid, of course, you know. There's sometimes when you least expected, trouble knocked on your door. It could be maybe a sick child. It could be maybe a job that is a threat. It could be maybe a family issue. It could be anything. It could be anything that affects your life. Praise the Lord. And that's why David took time to write this psalm, and he dedicates it to be sung by the chief musicians, because he wanted those words to be echoed even as he went through trouble. David was being pursued by Saul. You remember? He was running and hiding in caves because somebody wanted to kill him. And he needed a constant reminder that my God is my refuge. In spite of me being chased, in spite of the trouble that I'm going through, I want to look at God as my refuge, and he is my strength. Praise be to God. I need these words to be echoed. I need them. I need these words to be sung so articulatively, so that it could be stored into my heart. And that's why these words are here for us, because we are no different from David, from what he went through. That in spite of tribulations and trials, in spite of challenges that we are going to encounter, that we need to know, praise the Lord, that he is our refuge. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I found something that really interested me. It was talking about the refuge, about how God is our refuge. This is what it says, that he is our one and only impregnable. Now, the word impregnable, you need to understand what it means. It means unable to be captured or be broken. Let me tell you, when you're in God's, when you have taken God to be your refuge, nobody can capture you out of it. Amen? When we are hidden in God, whether the devil likes it or not, he would want to come and capture you, or maybe create a hole so that he can snap you out of God. He cannot penetrate it. It says it's unable to be captured or broken into. God as a refuge is accessible. He's the most delightful place of retreat in God. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, when we understand, when we fathom and we know in our Noah who God, you know God as our refuge and as our strength, even when the war has turned to be defensive, when we feel like the arrows are flying from every direction, because let me tell you, sometimes the arrows will fly and you won't even know where the arrows are coming from. And you'll be like, whoa, you're trying to duck them. But sometimes when you try to duck them with your own strength, you might miss. But when you're sheltered in God, glory be to God. When you're in God, the arrow will come and you'll find the wall of that fortress. It will find the wall of that refuge. It will come and hit on the wall where you have been sheltered in. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, in 2012, I've told you this before, I went through one of the most agonizing years financially. I owned a business, and you know, according to the standards of many people who are, you know, guys who are in the transportation business, you know this. You know, you have a fleet of trucks, and one truck breaks after the other. It's like actually there was an angel of destruction who was being sent my way. And it's not like after every week this one breaks down. After every week this breaks down. After every week this breaks down. And you know what? The money that comes in is like you're passing that money to fix the equipment. But one day it so happened, I think there was a dealer, I think evil, I mean hell was just, the hole was just open. and it was unleashed. And I remember one time, one guy called me from Brownwood, Texas. And he told me, oh, you know what, Tony, I just hit a deer and the truck is really, the radiator is broken. And, you know, I cannot move, so you need to call for a tow truck. Now, you know, when you call for a tow truck to tow a truck, you know how much they charge you? Almost $1,000. Ask Tony, ask Brother Jimmy, ask even this guy he knows here. $1,000. Now, within a period of 2 hours, another guy passed through that road. Can you imagine how, what a coincidence in the whole of United States that those trucks are passing through the same route in the wilderness of Texas, in East, in West Texas? And he calls me almost the same place where the first one hit a deer. And he tells me, oh, you know what, Tony? I don't know what just happened. I saw a black smoke. I saw black smoke being thrown away from the mast, and the truck just went and ceased. So right away I knew the thing is kaput. I mean, it couldn't move. So I told him, can you try to start it? He said, nothing. You know, it's just I see it just flashing red light, the engine problems. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the guy who had picked up that truck to go and deliver it to another place is the same guy I called. I told him, I said, go back about 15, 20 minutes, go tow that other truck. And he said, how are you going to pay? Let me tell you, that is the worst moment. You feel like you want to freeze, you want to get out of the hole and just disappear. But anyway, cut a long story short, so those two trucks were in his yard. Because he said, if you don't have the money, then I may have to sell these trucks and recover my money. I said, okay. So at the end of the year, anyway, it was really too bad. Man, I've never experienced a life, I mean, like what I experienced in 2012. And so I'm filing my taxes in 2012. And I thought that, you know what, this must be my year. I have to get a refund. Because of the things that I've gone through, you know, like all these expenses and, you know, stuff. And I'm filing my taxes, and 2 years, I think about 2 or 3 years later, I find a letter from the IRS telling me that in 2012, I never paid any taxes and I owed $16,000. And I called her, let me tell you, I even sometimes I'm rethinking this and I'm feeling it like I was feeling it. And I told him, so what happened? I almost paid all my bills late in 2012. All my trucks broke down. I have a list of expenses. You'd think it's, I mean, if I made that money, I would really be a rich man. And now I owe IRS $16,000. I said, God, this must be a joke. I said, the evil that had been released in 2012, one time I knelt down and told God, never, please, God. You know, even if you send me some trials and tribulations, let it not be like this. Anyway, but my point is, this evil that can be unleashed. But only thank God, because God fights our battles. Amen? Because even when you think that you are done, I'm still here. Amen? I'm still alive. And I'm still breathing the oxygen, the free oxygen from the Lord. Amen? And I feel better. Amen? I have never experienced a year like 2012. Probably, maybe recovered. Amen? Oh, and by the way, let me tell you, even I petitioned IRS, and they slashed the thing almost just by almost three quarters. Amen? So what can I say? I rejoice in God. He is my refuge. Glory be to Jesus. I like giving stories like this because I know you've been in a situation whereby you didn't even know where to turn. And sometimes we turn even to the wrong refuges. There's sometimes when you're bombarded by issues of life and you feel that maybe the best retreat is to just be alone. Mm-mm-mm. That is not the sure refuge. You be alone, the enemy will use you to attack when you think that your loneliness will help you. That is just a temporary bandage for you to think that you're feeling better. Amen. But the sure refuge that will never leave you is God Jehovah. Do you want to tell me that God was not aware of what I was going through? Even when I was getting these phone calls and being drowned with the,
worry and uncertainty, and I didn't know what to do. God was aware of what I was going through. Amen? Maybe he was teaching me something. Maybe he was telling me that I am with you, my son. Maybe he was telling me that you're going to be okay. Praise the Lord. It is good to know that even as we face different kinds of trials, that God is our refuge. That God is our strength. Amen. There's sometimes when the game of the battle flips over, and now you are playing an attack. You're attacking the enemy. Now, when we attack the enemy, he says that I am your strength. Amen? You don't have to fight this battle by yourself. You remember what he told King Jehoshaphat? How many of you remember? When he was surrounded, you know, he received a report like we made many times do. By the way, have you ever received a negative report, maybe from Kenya, or you heard like, oh, your mom is sick, or maybe your brother is sick, and immediately you receive that, it's like the enemy begins, it's like he is sitting on the typewriter, yeah, and he's sending messages to your mind, oh, he might die, oh, now what am I going to do, oh, I've not been active, I don't even know where I'm going to get the money for barrio, oh, I'm not even, and you know, you just heard that your sister is sick, now you have all these messages from the enemy telling you that he might even die. He was even beginning to arrange the burial ceremony. And this is the devices of the enemy. Praise the Lord. And King Nebuchadnezzar, we read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, I believe. When he received messages that there were armies that were surrounding him. And he managed to put the children of Israel together. You know, we have to go before the Lord and seek the Lord. And then there was a prophet of God and came and told him that this battle, you don't have to fight it. Just stand still and watch what God is going to do. And I feel sometimes God wants to tell us that, but we are shrouded by so many voices that are around our lives. But God is speaking in that still voice telling you, Sister Purity, that I'm going to fight this battle for you. Praise be to God. Stand still and watch and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's no trouble that is so great if you're still alive. I'll say this. There's no trouble that is big enough if you're still breathing. Amen? All the trouble that you've encountered in your life, God gave you victory over it. That's why you're alive. There are many people who have encountered problems and they are attacked maybe with a heart failure and they die. But guess what? God gave you the stamina to go through what you went through. And that's why you're here today. Amen. He is our refuge. And he is our strength. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Now, I also checked out on our strength. What does the Bible say when he says that he is our strength? He is all sufficient. He is unconquerable. He is honorable, he is emboldening, and the actual strength is our God. I checked out our help. It says he's the ever near, sympathizing, faithful, real, and potent in our God. Let me tell you, there's no strength that he is not able to surmount. There's no strength that you need to conquer any power of evil that is not available to you. Praise the Lord. And as I told you about the children of Israel, how as they sojourned to the promised land, the Lord's presence was with them. Amen? When, think about this. When they needed water, all Moses do is ask of the Lord, and he gave him instructions of how they would get water. When they were hungry, all they needed to do, we are hungry, God, what we need to do is Moses speaking to the Lord, and God provides manna from heaven. Constantly, he was with them. Providing for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. But in spite of God being present with them, they were a rebellious generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want us to know that God is with us at all times. The great and many. Now, when we talk about the mountains and we are talking about the earth being removed or being moved, these are the problems that we may encounter. You know, the trouble. Jesus, as he ascended up in heaven, he said, take courage, you know, and be encouraged. For on this earth, you will encounter problems. Amen? Problems are part of life. You might probably be living in another planet if you have never encountered trouble in your life. Or if you have never encountered trouble, it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. You know? But in times of trouble, we are going to call upon the name of the Lord, and we shall surely know that He is our constant help, even in times of trouble. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what the Bible says in verse number four. It says this, that in spite of all these things happening to us, in spite of the mountains falling into the sea, even the oceans rolling and foaming and the mountains shaking and ranging, the Bible says that there is a river. Oh my God. That there is a river that brings joy to the city of God. The holy place where God Most High lives. Now the Bible says in verse number 5, God is in that city, and so it will not be shaken. God will help her at dawn, and nations tremble and kingdoms shake. There are some times when we are encountered with the problems that we desperately need the energy and the stamina to go through what we're going through. Amen? Let me tell you, every different person experiences different problems. And the magnitude of a problem that you might be facing, or a challenge, or a trial, may be completely different from what anybody else is going through. It is very easy, by the way, to just assume that everything is A-okay. You know, I found out, being a pastor, that sometimes you share things with people and you wonder, oh my God, I can't believe this. This man is really smartly dressed every Sunday. He looks so cheerful. This woman looks very modest, and the way she carries herself, she always puts a smile, you know, on her face. But you get to know the inner things and the things, the challenges that cannot even be sorted out by anybody, and they know it in their knower, and they've been going through this, and it's kind of like a thorn in the flesh, and deep inside there's a cry, you know, there's a cry that calls out for the divine for a divine intervention. And they're going through this every single day. I was talking yesterday to a young man that most of you know. And he was giving me his life history. And I said, you know, let me tell you. Sometimes, you know, we can judge people. As human beings, we judge people. And you look at a person and you say, why does this guy do, I mean, what? Why does he do what he does? But you know what? I have come to realize that we cannot judge people by the way they look or the way they seem or why they don't do other certain things. There are people that have passed through, I mean, like fire, baptism of fire. I was talking to this guy, this brother, and he was telling me that he lost his parents, you know, he lost his mother when he was 8. He lost his dad when he was 10. And there were 10 in the family. About 6 of them were sisters. The first 6 siblings were sisters. And they went on and they forgot about him and the other siblings that were younger than him. And he was telling me of times when he would just spend nights just outside because they didn't have a shelter. They were chased after the parents died. You know, they didn't even have anywhere to live. And he was telling me of hard labor that he did. Oh my goodness. And as he was talking, he began to cry. He began to relive those moments. You know, he started telling me how everybody rejected, and at one time he thought that he was even worse than a dog, that he was worth nothing, you know. But one thing he told me that really challenged me, he told me that, Pastor, my dad was a God-fearing man, and he used to pray for us. And he used to cry out in the night. I remember even as a young kid, you know, when I was about 7, 8, I used to see my dad pray and cry out for God. And when he died, I believe the prayers of my dad have sustained me this moment. And he was telling me of how God created an opportunity for him to come to the States. That we, you know, somebody just came and told him, why don't you apply this thing? For him, he told me, how can somebody worse than a dog even dream ever to go into the United States of America? And he could not even apply because he never thought that he would be worth it. I'm telling you. But something just began to stir up in his spirit. I believe it was the Spirit of God told him, just take these papers and apply and send them. And let me tell you, within a very short time, there was a letter that came in, and he was invited. He won a permanent residence visa, you know. And even like that was not enough. When it was about 3 weeks to go, the visa was already stamped. It was just about 3 weeks to board a plane and come over here. The church where he was going was a simple church, but they loved him, and they raised some money for his air ticket to come over here. He didn't even have anybody to host him here. The only person that he knew had told him that, you know what, if you want me to host you, you have to marry my daughter back in Kenya. I mean, it's like, let me tell you, sometimes it's like a hellhole that has been released. Just challenge after challenge after challenge. 3 weeks, he lost his passport. And it had a visa. Now, he said, you see, and this is what he was telling me. I said, see, God, I told you I'm not even worth going to America. Can you imagine? Lost his visa. But something happened miraculously. Somebody called him out of the blue, told him, go and look for another passport, because the U.S. Embassy might call you. Call them, tell them you lost your passport. When it was just 1 week for his visa to expire, the American Embassy called him, told him, come here tomorrow with that passport, a new passport. We'll give you another visa. Let me tell you, today, that young man is here. And he has a passion. He wants to go back to Kenya to help orphans and widows because of what he has gone through. Some things happen for a reason. But in the midst of all these things, even in spite of the fact that he lost his parents, Pastor, at the age of 8 and 7, he is still here. Troubles never killed him. Amen? Why? Because I believe God is our refuge. I believe God is our strength. And he looked at him maybe when he was spending those many nights in the darkness of the night without any food. I believe that he was in the refuge of the Lord. I believe there was a wall surrounding him. I believe that there was a wall all around him, and God would encourage him and tell him that you're more worthy than a dog, even more than what you think. Trouble can cause you to think that you are nothing, church. But it is good to know that there's an everlasting wall. God is not a respecter of person. Hallelujah. And as I conclude, there was this story I was reading about David. He had sinned one time, and by sending out one of his soldiers to go and take census of all the fighting men. And you find that story in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 24. And I think it was a scene kind of humiliated God, or maybe what I understood is like lowering the expectation of God, or just looking down upon God's ability to fight for you. And he said, you know what? I've been fighting this battle for a long time. Go and send. I need to know how many soldiers that we have in Israel and Judah. And one of just the humble people, just within the army, said, why would you do that? God has been fighting for us. We didn't even know the numbers of the soldiers that we had. Why would you send out a census so that we would find a census of the people in Israel, the fighting men in Israel and Judah? He said, no, I need to know this number. And he continued. And so they went, because he was the king. And they went, and within a period of 9 months, they brought back a report. He said, okay, sir, there are 800,000 men, fighting men in Israel. I wish you didn't do that, but we had to obey because you're the king. How about in Judah? There are about 500 fighting men. And immediately after they said those words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And he said, I regret why I did this. All the fighting God has done for me. He protected me, not because of the numbers, the vast army of Israel and in Judah, but he single-handedly delivered me himself. And let me tell you, within no minutes, there was a prophet coming towards David, and he told me, you've sinned against the Lord. You've defiled his power. You have looked down upon his ability. Amen? Are you listening to me? And sometimes we are like David. Sometimes you think, you're telling your wife, can you check how much money I have in the bank? Because I need to take care of this problem. Eh? Can you check whether the car has enough fuel? Can you check whether so-and-so has paid the debt that they owed us? You know, we try to seek refuge from the wrong places. And and by so doing, when we, even without knowing, we are undermining the power of God. in our lives. Amen? And the prophet comes to David and tells him, there are three things the Lord wants to do for you. You better choose, and I'll leave you to give an answer. He told him, either 30 days of famine in the nation of Israel. 30 days. Hallelujah. The other thing, what did he tell him? Or 3 days, you're going to experience pestilence in your land. Or 30 days for people to continue chasing after you. Now, each one of those is a very bad report. And you know what he said? He looked at the prophet of God and said, I neither choose any one of those. And he said, it is better to fall in the hands of God than to fall in the hands of men, because God is merciful. Peradventure, I might even fall in the hands of God, and while he's dealing with me, his mercy prevails. Amen? Hallelujah. And I would say, like David, it is better to fall in the hands of God, because peradventure, he may have mercy upon me. Glory be to Jesus. Our God is full of mercy. No matter what we have done, no matter what we have committed, no matter what we have gone through, the Bible calls us his children, and he is merciful. It is better to fall in the hands of God, a loving God, a merciful God. Praise be to God. He is our refuge, and he is our strength. He is a constant refuge. He is a constant help in times of need. And let me tell you, that the help is not like a 911 that you dial. You don't even need to dial it, because it is accompanying you. Whether you are in the darkness of the moments of night, whether there is a siren that is knocking on your door, whether there is a focus that has been focused on your address. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I feel it. In the transportation business, we ask ourselves, what is your 20? Right? Have you heard that word? Yeah? Somebody asking you, what is your 20? They ask you, what is your position? Because if you're in this position, I can hook you up to this load, then you can pick it up instead of choosing somebody who is far off. Amen? So, I feel like I want to ask you, what is your 20? But I don't need to ask you, where is your 20? Because God is with you. He is constantly with you. Amen? The reason why I would ask you, what is your 20? And I can hear these sirens. I heard that you live in Denton County and there is this storm that is coming by your way. What is your 20? I don't need to ask you that. I need to ask you, you need to be aware that the refuge is with you. I need to tell you that you need to be aware that the strength of the Lord is with you. I need to tell you that you know the help of the Lord is there with you. Amen? Even if you're at the eye of the storm, God is still your deliverer. Amen? Praise be to God. May the Lord help us. And that's why I told you I love that word. Therefore, we shall not fear. Many times the enemy would want to torment us with fear. But in the absence of fear is where you have faith. Where you have faith that God is my refuge. Is where you have faith that God is my strength. Is where you have faith that God is my help. That no matter what happens, I know God is going to deliver me. We ought to be like the children of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that when they were subjected to a ruthless king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and they told him, you have to bow to the image. They say, sir, I'm not bowing to this image, because they knew God would be their refuge. Amen? They said, you know what? We know God is able to deliver us. But I love what they said, the second part of their statement to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, even if he doesn't deliver me, amen, I will not give in to your conditions, because I know he is my refuge. Amen? Hallelujah. That is the mentality, that is the attitude we ought to have, even as a church, as a child of God, to personalize it. That my God, I know for sure that he is my refuge and he is my strength. Whether I am defensive, whether there is, you know, the earth has just opened up wanting to swallow me, I know that he is my refuge. I know that he is my strength. I know that he is my help. And not only that, he is constantly with me. Amen. Let us stand on our feet. I don't know what you've been going through, and I don't know your story. As a matter of fact, each one of us has a story. There's no one here who doesn't have a story. Something that you would really want, you say this, if God would do this thing for me right now, I think I'll be A-okay. you know. But I want you to know that God is aware of what you're going through. And God is able to give you the stamina to go through this. If God was able to cause Job to go through what he went through, you can go through too. In spite of the so many things and opposition that he had, most of his friends came and told him, okay, you know what, you need to give up. His wife, of all the people, came and told him, why don't you cast God and die? And Job tells his wife, will I only expect good things from the Lord and not bad things? That sometimes God would allow bad things to happen to us. He wants us to know that he is taking care of us. You know, you want to tell me that Jesus didn't know when he takes up his disciples in the book of, I believe, John 18, and takes them, you know, in the midst of a sea, and it becomes so stormy, and he falls asleep. You want to tell me that he didn't know that there was going to be a storm? He knew about it. But you see, the thing, what makes the difference is that God is there. God is there with you in the storm. Praise the Lord. He is there with you in the storm. And they are beckoning the master and telling me, don't you care? We're almost perishing. And he wakes up and he just stretches up his hand and he says, be still. And the sea is still. He is there in the midst of the storm. Praise be the Lord. And the verse number 4 says, there's a river that is flowing through the city of God. And it causes the streams to bring consolation and bring comfort and bring refreshment to the body of Christ. You are the city of God, church. We are the city of God. And whatever we are going through, God is sending out a refreshment. He is sending out a deluge of a river, fresh water, just to comfort you, to console you, and to give you refreshment, to tell you that in spite of what you're going through, I want you to know that I'm here with you. Amen. And that's why you're still here. You're not going anywhere. You're going to live every single day that the Lord has assigned you on planet Earth. Did you hear what I said? That you're going to live each and every single day the Lord has assigned for you. We are canceling any plans of the enemy to take you early, because you have an assignment here. In the name of Jesus. Your children will also live each and every day that they have been assigned for here on planet Earth. And God has pre-organized and pre-arranged that any trouble that comes to you, he will give you the ability to overcome it. Amen? Because his name is Jehovah. Praise be to God. Lift up your right hand in the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful for reminding us that you are our refuge and that you are our strength. I love the simplicity of the word of God. That is exactly what it says, that he is our refuge. And he is our strength. When we are in you, O Lord, nobody can hijack us. Nobody can break into us to come wanting to get us, because we are hidden in you. And when we fight our battle, I pray that we shall be like King Jehoshaphat, who you told that this battle is not your battle to fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I hear the Spirit, those words echoing into your spirit right now, telling you that this battle that you're going through, it may have taken quite some time. And you might even be telling me, oh, Tony, you don't even understand what I've been going through. You don't even understand how long I have suffered with this. You don't even understand how long I've waited for this. But listen, this battle, if you trust me, as the voice of God here this afternoon, I hear the Spirit of God saying, this battle is not your battle. This battle is not your battle. Ah, my God. This battle is not your battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, even for these, your children. It is a great privilege, Lord, for me, a man of many weaknesses, many failings, to stand before them, Lord, and bring the word of the Lord. I pray that that word will gain root wherever it has fallen right now. It will encourage them, Lord. Somebody going through a travailing moment right now, that it is only known to themselves and you in the middle of the night as they toss in bed and think about the agony and the tears and the pain that this has brought to them. That, Father, you bring your river
You cause your stream, Lord, to come and create a healing effect into that pain. In the name of Jesus. Father, there are some I feel in my spirit right now. There are some that have asked answers, never received they have asked questions, but they have never received answers. Lord, I pray that in this period when they are waiting upon you, that you shall give them answers. And even if the answer delays, I pray that the river of God will stream towards them, touching every area where it's affected, and bring a healing effect in the name of Jesus. Bringing a consolation effect in the name of Jesus. Bringing a purging of some kind in the name of Jesus. Touch each one of us, Lord. Touch our members of our families back in Africa. In the name of Jesus. Touch our families. Touch our children. We speak prosperity over their lives in the name of Jesus. We speak security even in our nation in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that by your power you shall penetrate through the impenetrable in the name of the Lord. And I thank you, Father. I release a blessing over your people in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen, amen.